Okay, we'll get started. I think everybody's here. This is the regular meeting of the State Board of Examiners of Environmental Professionals. The regular meeting is being held today, July 14th at 9:30 a.m. We'll just start off the first item on the agenda is just the go around the room for everybody to say who's present. My name is Ken Collette, board chair.
John Adams, Tetra Tech.
Earl Violet Hutchinson.
Russ Lorenzo, Shepog River Association.
Dave Ferrick, Lorero Engineering.
Rob Michelle. Good, Weston and Sampson. Sorry, Michelle.
No problem, Rob. Michelle Gamache, People's United, a division of M&T Bank.
Wow.
Lori DeBella from the Attorney General's Office.
Lou Miratori, Red Technologies.
Dan Wolf from Woodard and Curran.
Alina Thornhill Moody, Deep.
Liz McAuliffe, Deep.
Nelson Walter, EPOC.
Hey, Nelson. I think that's everybody. First order of business is the reading and approval of the minutes from the last regular meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Great, Russ, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second. Oh,
sorry. Who won that battle?
Dave Ferrick, you can put my name down.
Thanks. Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Is there any opposition to the motion to approve the minutes? Anyone opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously and the minutes are approved. Public participation, Nelson, you have anything to offer today?
Nothing from me, nope. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Unfinished business in general order. Liz, you had some update, final stats on the renewals and license issuances. If you want to just feel free to report that out to the board, that's great.
Sure, and I sent the names to John, so you can just cut and paste them. We have 9 new LEPs, and I'll just read their names in case you know them, and John has this information. Jesse Arroyo, Andrew Blitchard, Catherine Engler, David Granucci, David Lent, Christopher Lindahl, Caitlin Weeder, Stephanie Werschelak, and Francis Wright are our new batch of LEPs. And we had 7 LEPs who did not renew. And I sent those names along as well. That's Nathan Epler, Aaron Kirby, Michael Latinen, Lori Stocker, Dennis Unitas, Michael Cody, and Dennis McCaskey. And he resigned in December, but so those 7 are not renewing. So we're at 331, so we're up a couple.
Great. Yeah, that's great news. Just as you know, board chair, offer congratulations to those new licensees and best wishes to those not renewing and retiring potentially, best wishes to them. And thanks for their service in that program. And hopefully the new licensees have a long time success in the program and adapt as some of the changes come around from the new release-based program. we got the top 2 items on new business, the annual test development work, including item development and test assembly. I think, Liz, you've got some outside volunteers and deep staff. And I think traditionally there's been some assistance from board members on these two items. Are these, you can give an update, Liz, are these still going to be made done electronically, or how is Scantron planning to do the work this year?
The plan is to do them remotely. I know there was interest on the part of some of the volunteers and staff members to get together, and they certainly could get together if they chose to. We could reserve a room at Deep or someplace else if they wanted to do that, if they wanted to get together and do it on screen together. As you can, Epoch helped us get a couple of people very quickly, and we've got Kevin Vanderveer and Jeff Brace from the agency. So we just need a couple of board members for each.
Liz, I had a question. I've participated in these exercises previously, and it used to be one day for each component. And so when I saw the announcement come out, I was just curious. It now says 2 or 3 days. Is it? I guess question is: does it really take that long to with the group to get the work completed? Or what's realistic?
Yeah, it seems like it's probably about 8 hours. And because it was remote, people were able to do a few hours here and there. And that might have been the reason. I don't know. I've only been observing it for 2 years. So you have more history than I do. I think the group is done when they decide they're done.
It's not 2 or 3 8-hour days.
No, right.
I participated last year in the development part, and number one, I certainly hope there's an effort to get together, because it is, it's a difficult job made more difficult doing it remotely. But it is broken up, I think, is what they're trying to do, just to provide some flexibility for folks. And if you were in there for straight 8 hours. It would be tough.
Nobody would want it.
Yeah.
I can reserve a room if in Deep with the technology available too, and that way you have the options if that works better, especially for the development.
Yeah, okay. Liz. I mean, if the Russell room is still working and has, I've lost track a little bit about which rooms have working cameras, but I think that certainly is an option for a group to be together in person. And, I don't think there would be any issue with doing it that way. And it allows people to kind of break off and have conversations if they need to. I think that seems like it would work well.
Okay. I'm happy to volunteer for the test assembly based on schedule if there's interest there as a board member.
I also would volunteer for test assembly if needed.
Well, I was going to volunteer for test assembly since I did creation last year, but if we need it, I'll volunteer for item creation. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, that's the harder one.
I would join too if needed. I can't do the October one, which is number two on this. So if somebody wants to switch, I could definitely do the September work.
We got two for both. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Works. Thank you.
Much appreciated.
So Liz, you'll just continue to be in touch about schedule and how that's gonna work out. I think if we can, in advance figure out which room would work best. But 4B comes to mind because of its size, Russell room, the room on the sixth floor. I'm just thinking of the larger rooms that have a little more room to move around and spread out for people.
Not as much demand these days.
No, they're pretty open.
I would recommend, Liz, that maybe you do 2 days in that time period, you know, a week apart or something, because I don't know how booked they get, but my guess is that it's probably going to get broken up into 2 4-hour days. If we're going to do it at all in person, that would be my recommendation.
Thank you.
Okay, item three is the kind of ongoing request for approval as an on-demand distance learning sponsor by Alpha Analytical. We had reviewed the materials they submitted at the last meeting. They submitted an update, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Liz, but I think the update was just that email indicating which programs they use to track stuff. Is that the updated information?
I think that's the only information. Yeah, and well, there was also a request to make it clear. There was something else that Dan had asked for, and I believe that was corrected as well. That it wasn't for the LSP program. They were showing an example that had to do with math, I think, or New Jersey or something. So I think that just was eliminated.
Yeah, so they use a learning management system called iSpring. And they gave websites to that. I don't know if anybody has any further concerns about it, but.
They seem pretty comprehensive as to what they provided.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, it took a while to compile the information, but I think overall it seems like they, you know, they're going to go through the proper steps to confirm the time of the coursework. And, you know, again, we still approve content, you know, but when they submit something for the 2-hour chunk, you know, it's considered verified for the time. It's just a matter of whether the content's relevant and meets the standards in the reg. So we would still be reviewing the course content.
I'll make a motion to approve Alpha's request to, I guess, to be a sponsor, right? A sponsor of
distance learning sponsor. Yep. Is there a second?
Second, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, anyone opposed? Okay, the motion carries and we have a new distance learning sponsor, and hopefully they can start putting forward some course materials to provide some more options for distance learning, which I know is a helpful tool to those looking for some on-demand coursework to fulfill the requirements. So hopefully they submit some courses for approval. Next item is a request by the South Atlantic Well Drillers, 9.5 CECs maximum with 21.5 optional. In-person conference to be held July 30th through August 1st, titled the South Atlantic Jubilee. I have all the materials. I think people saw them. Is there a motion on this?
You don't see the there. Probably be a lot of fun to get together with a bunch of well drillers. But...
Sounds like a party.
Right.
It's a jubilee.
Your fluid's better than my fluid.
I don't know.
I think we have to make a motion to deny the request.
I agree.
Good. So, oh, good. I'm not the only one.
Right. Correct. All right. So we have, I think, a motion from Dan and a second by Carol.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Any opposed to denying their request? Seeing none, the motion carries, and the application for approval of CECs for the South Atlantic Jubilee is denied. I guess, Liz, can you provide a little more detail on agenda item 5? Seems like at the time of application, they will not exactly have the full experience. I don't know if you have
any. Sure, yeah. Can I have one question, if sure. I may, on 4? It's because it doesn't meet the requirements in the regulation, right, for course content?
I just don't see anything having to do with the remediation of wells. It seems okay. Like there's the one, I saw one about strategies for salt intrusion, but it's limited to sort of like, seems like it's barrier island kind of impacts, not exactly road salt even, which we do deal with, but and I don't even know if it really got into remediation. It you know, yeah, I don't think it meets the content requirements.
Thank you. Number 5, yes. So the individual indicated to me that they will have 8 years of experience in April, but the application is due in February to sit for the exam. But they would have, in theory, if the board gave them conditional approval to sit for the exam, they claim they have 4 years of responsible charge. I recognize it's not their decision, it's your decision to decide that. On one hand, I was thinking, oh, that would be great for them to go ahead and sit for the exam. But the problem is if they get conditional approval and then upon further review after passing the exam, somebody looks at their application and says, no, they really don't have it for whatever reason.
It's what the regulation says, right?
Yep, right.
Well, the regulation says you have to have enough by the time you are licensed.
Okay.
So that's where I was getting stuck, and I didn't know what to suggest to you.
Well, if that's what it says, then I don't see why you'd want to prevent them.
Right. I was looking at the regulation under B1A, and it talks about a minimum of 8 years. To be licensed. So we looked at this 2 months ago when we were looking at that excess credit issue that also used that word minimum. And we thought in that case that it signaled the result. We shouldn't let the excess credits be used. And if you kind of consistently apply the same rationale, it seems like it would carry through here too, that, you know, this person would really be sort of pushing the envelope and kind of squeaking through. It's a minimum of, yeah, you know, so. That's sort of my way in.
I took a look at B and at also some of the white paper stuff that's online and some of the other instructions, and I had the opinion that it was pretty silent about where that what the end point was, and I took that as being, you know, when you're given the license, is there some place where it says, you know, by the time you sit for the exam or by the time you submit an application?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, there's
no license shall be issued. Yeah, it says no license shall be issued to an applicant unless such applicant demonstrates the satisfaction of the board that they have 8 years of a minimum of 8 years of experience. So it's, and I wouldn't be asking that the chair issue the licenses until July 1.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why someone with just 8 years is not going to get through this process. I mean, just because of the responsible charge determination and even, you know, the first 4 years, all of that counting, you know, every second of every minute they've been employed is interesting.
20 minutes, we'll go look at that.
Okay, all right, thanks, John.
Yeah, I've always found it very difficult for somebody with a minimum amount of experience to be approved because of the responsible charge. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to demonstrate that they've got 4 years of responsible charge, regardless of the 8 years engaged in.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, here's the, so, He sits for the exam. The day after the exam, he gets laid off for 2 weeks. Then he doesn't have 8 years of experience at the date of licensure.
Right.
What happens? What do we do?
Right.
Yeah, I would also look a little closely at section three has the application and examination requirements. And it talks about we have to have a complete application 90 days before the date of the examination. If it fails to meet any of the applicable requirements, it shall be rejected by the board. It seems to indicate that in the examination piece, you know, it's, this is about, you know, even though the initial licensure section doesn't talk about it, but the review is really about it, admittance to the exam, and the requirements need to be met prior, you know, during this application review period, not during, you know, not following the exam in any way. So that's the process that's always been used in accordance with these regs.
Yeah, that's what we've done all along. And even that question that we answer when we review, it says, does the applicant have 8 years of engaged in 4 years of responsible charge? And it's at that time that we allow them to sit for the exam.
So if we interpret that as 90 days before the date of the exam, we must have these requirements fulfilled. And that draws a bright line, which I think is the way
the regulation.
And we've interpreted it that way all. I think that's
right, and I think because we conduct that business at a regular meeting, you know, in February, we're approving those applications at that time, you know, and that's, you know, that's the process that's been in place is to review them for completeness, for eligibility, meeting all the other applicable requirements at the time those are reviewed and voted on.
I'll just add that I'm, you know, thank you to everybody who's looked up the, you know, the regulations and the requirements. I'm always a little reticent when, you know, just anything that is talking about conditional approvals for anything. While this applicant may be a stellar candidate and could, you know, otherwise hit all the other requirements and they're going to fly through the exam and have all of the, you know, hours of responsible charge by the time they get to licensure. It's just opening a Pandora's box for the next one and then the next one after that. And is that something that we really want to get into? It's a slippery slope that I think, you know, it's better to set the bright line up front.
I mean, I don't know that we need to vote on this, you know, Liz. I mean, they're free to file an application, but I think you could advise them. The board discussed it and would not approve someone to take the exam unless they met all the qualifications at the time of application. But I don't think there's a board decision to be made.
Okay, thank you for finding that second citation. It makes it much easier.
Okay. Does everyone agree with that? I mean, I don't think we have something to decide. We're not, you know, they're not an applicant. They're seeking some level of guidance, but they're free to file an application. They just-
I agree.
Sounds like they might get rejected.
Yeah.
Minutes reflect there was consensus.
So that concludes our agenda, and I think as everyone on the call knows, this is my last meeting as chair. I'm separating from state service next week, and you know, I meant, you know, everything that I said and more in the email to all of you. You know, Denise really gave me quite a gift to think of me when considering who to replace her as chair. It's been a great, you know, just a great, you know, benefit to me professionally and personally to get to work with everybody. And, you know, I'll definitely miss working with this group. You know, hoping the transition goes smoothly enough. you know, Liz will be working with our chief of staff and council and some other managers to kind of help figure out who my replacement will be. I am guessing, if I had a crystal ball, that you will see Liz as alternate chair next month, at least, because I'm not sure they'll be able to find a permanent replacement that quickly or figure out how they want to do it. But you know, it's just been a really great group to work with. Everyone's extremely, you know, hardworking. In my tenure, we've never missed a meeting for lack of a quorum. You know, even with, you know, kind of seeing a dip in our board numbers due to some retirements. And it's been great getting some new board members on board that have become so engaged so quickly. It's been a great run. I really have enjoyed the work. And, you know, hopefully in my next role, if we can, you know, have an opportunity to work together, I'd welcome that. We'll hopefully see everybody around.
Good luck.
If I could just say something as the board secretary of all. So we've been around for 27 years as a board, and we've had countless board members. We've only had two administrators, but we've had four board chairs. Bob Smith was the first. If my memory serves me correctly, we had Bob Smith, and we had Mike Carter, Denise Ruzicka, and then Ken. And so if I can tell a little story about Ken. So Ken, you know, came to the board a few years ago, and he's going to crack the whip. So as a volunteer secretary for the board, I try very hard to get my minutes done in a timely fashion. And Ken had Kim relay a message to me that the minutes needed to be posted within 7 days of the minute of the meeting, and I needed to get those done. Well, you know, so for the first couple of months, I got him to Kim within 7 days, and then maybe things started to slip a little bit. And, you know, I never heard from Ken that the minutes were late and what was happening. You know, he recognized that, you know, the board members have a significant commitment and understood when to give a little and when to push a little. And that's what good leaders do. And Ken, you've served the board well. And we commend you for all of your efforts on behalf of the LEP community, the environmental community, and the business community, because in the end, we help business do what they need to do to operate in the state. So thank you, Ken, and I wish you great success with your position at Eversource.
Thank you. Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. This is Liz. I really appreciate all your guidance with the complaints and sort of the murky water that we have to tread through. And you've been a really good, calm leader. And it was very helpful to me and made my transition really easy between you and Selena. So thank you. Good luck.
Thanks, Liz. You know, the feeling's mutual. I mean, I indicated, you know, and can't really say enough about coming into this role with Kim being there, just, you know, got me up to speed so quickly because of how organized she was in running everything, and her focus on transitioning her role, you know, really over a pretty lengthy period. She was very focused on transitioning her duties over in an organized way. You know, I think definitely benefited Liz and Selena and their work, and able to be able to work so quickly on everything, you know, greatly benefited me. So that whole interaction and transition and you know, and improvements really that Liz and Selena have made in doing a lot of the work electronically has been tremendous.
Well, Ken, congratulations, sort of, I guess. I mean, it's an interest, you know, it's a change in life and moving on. And that's great. I thank you for everything that you've done. You know, when I came on, you helped me out quite a bit. And I look forward to actually meeting you in person one day and shaking your hand.
Right.
Which is so bizarre that we've been at this many meetings and I've actually not physically met you.
It is.
Well, Well, Ken, I can't believe you're leaving when I just got here.
Sorry, Lori.
I know. I'm going to miss you so much. And we've worked on so many other things together. And, you know, I can't believe it, but I wish you the best. I'm going to miss you a lot.
Thanks, Lori. Feelings mutual. And I'm glad that you were named to come into this role. I think it'll be great, great help to the board to have you serving as counsel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for your steady leadership over the course of the last couple of years. Eversource is, you know, what a great pickup for them. I'm sure everyone at the state is going to be, you know, probably big shoes to fill on as the chair of the board as well. We all will miss you. I'll miss you. But it sounds like great things ahead for you. So, you know, new challenges, new opportunities, and I wish you all the best. I think you're going to hit it out of the park kind of no matter where you go, no matter what you do. So good luck to you, and thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Thanks, Michelle. Really appreciate it.
I can't say it any better. So I'll just say I wish I got to spend more time with you, Ken, but I'm sure our paths will cross in the future. Good luck to you.
Yeah, I hope we do. Thanks, Russ.
Yep.
Hi, Ken. This is Selena. I just want to wish you all the best. You're the consummate professional, and our loss is Eversource's gain. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, Selena. And I hope, you know, your role with the board, you know, continues and continues to grow. And I hope, you know, you get, you know, as much out of it as you put into it, because you've really put a tremendous amount of work into helping improve the licensing process and just have been on top of everything since day one. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Okay. I just add one thing at the end here, not about Ken, but you know, just to recognize the passing of Russ Slayback last month. Russ was a longtime board member, and I'm the second secretary, I guess. He was the first secretary, and it was funny because he and Bob Smith, they were given the nicknames of HA1 and HA2, standing for Hard Ass One and Hard Ass Two when they were reviewing applications. So you know, I recognize Russ for all his contributions. And I actually went and looked back, and we've had three board members pass away. Lisa Santa Croce actually passed away as a board member. She was only 38 years old, died of breast cancer in 2001. And Kate Robinson was one of the first board members that represented an environmental group, and she represented CEF. And she just passed away in 2020. So... I think I've got three, if that's correct, but
yeah,
we're getting old.
Oh boy.
Hey everybody. Well, I really appreciate all the well wishes. It's going to be hard to get my head through the door when it's time to leave. Everyone's been so complimentary, and I really, really do appreciate all of that. I look forward to hopefully interacting with everybody in the future. So I'm not going anywhere. So I'll still be in Connecticut, also doing some work in Massachusetts. So I'm really looking forward to branching out a little bit as well. So
thanks.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thanks, Carol.
Second.
Thanks, Rob. Okay. Anyone opposed? Motion carries, and the meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Okay.
Thank you. Good luck, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Good luck. Good luck to you, Ken.
Okay.